American Soccer Show on World Football Day.
Thank you, USA. The resounding sentiment going on in Mexico this Wednesday morning. This is the Mexican Soccer Show, and we're here to reflect on a night where the United States saved Mexico's skin in terms of World Cup Brazil 2014. Two late goals from the United States got a win over Panama while Mexico suffered in Costa Rica. What happened? I know I didn't sleep too good. I was still the adrenaline pumping. I mean, what a night. Anyone want to just jump in?
It seems unreal, doesn't it? It seems like it didn't happen. It's pretty amazing stuff. First and foremost, to think that Mexico was eliminated for about 10 solid minutes there in two different parts of the night. One time Mexico saving itself by scoring that goal against Costa Rica, a good goal by Oribe Peralta. And then the second time, of course, with those two late American goals, Graham Susi, Aaron Johansson. I wrote about this in the ESPN FC column that I submitted today. Should be out by the time you're all listening to this. It was very interesting to sit back and go through some of the quotes that Jurgen Klinsmann gave after the Columbus game against Mexico 2-0. Klinsmann assured press that Mexico would be in the World Cup. You know, he stated that, you know, that there's no possible way that Mexico can't make the World Cup. Mexico's a team that has to be there. You know, he seemed more convinced than most Mexicans at that point, which I thought was very interesting. And then we see basically a team of a B squad of players for the United States go out there and fight till the finish. Very interesting quotes from a colleague over at ESPN, Roger Bennett, stating that a couple of Panama guys went up to Susie, went up to a couple of U.S. players and told them to take it easy on them. And I thought it was very reminiscent of the time that Osvaldo Sanchez asked Honduras striker David Suazo to not score another goal to keep Mexico in the running for the World Cup last time around. And it boils down to a quote that I used in my article and something that I read on Twitter last night that I thought was just fascinating and really just apt for the occasion. It said, "Gotham City would be a lot more boring for the Joker if he killed Batman." And that, I think that sums up the relationship at this point between the U.S. national team and the Mexican national team. You know, I they obviously didn't do this with the intent of helping Mexico, but I think for all intents and purposes, it's just a fantastic chapter for the U.S. in their rivalry. And it also gives Mexico this golden opportunity to move towards the 2014 World Cup. Now let's see what they do against New Zealand. It's a month away. It's going to be equally nerve-wracking than the games on Friday and Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, even from from an economic point of view, the figure doing the rounds is $600 million. That's what it would cost Mexico to not be in the World Cup. And I think on top of that, you've got, you know, the prestige of the game here. You got, you know, the league, the prestige of the league and its players. And I don't think you can put a price on that. Johnny or Naib, initial thoughts on, you know, what happened and you know, how you reacted to it?
I mean, it's waking up early, really early, and you know, sort of having a messed up sleeping time and all. But what surprised me was I noted this, but the four, we were analyzing Bucetich on four halves, basically. The first half, the second half in Azteca, and then yesterday in San Jose. And each of the halves just gets progressively worse. That's my conclusion out of the four. There's not a team. There's not a team that, you know, for the Mexican national team right now. I don't see, you know, some type of mechanism going on there that, you know, at least gives you a sort of minor satisfaction that perhaps there's a bright future ahead in the next month, like Eric was pointing out. I don't see that team right now. What I saw in the last two games are individual sparks. If it's from Rafa Márquez, if it's from Gulli Peña, if it's from Raúl Jiménez, of course, with the Chilena, or Miguel Ayun on the right back, And then you see other disastrous individual participations like Torres Nilo yesterday in the left flank, the left back position against a player like Joel Campbell, who just goofed around with him the 90 minutes of the match. You don't see a team, and I think that's what's worrying right now. And right now, without a doubt, no, there's no nor doubts in international eye and CONCACAF eye. Right now, the team that's the best representative of this CONCACAF region is the U.S., and yesterday they proved it in Panama, beating Panama with a B team, led by Susi, led by Johansson, led by Orozco Fiscal, who scored that goal that first gave the, you know, boosted up a little bit the attitude of the Mexican national team coming from the bench.
Yeah, sure. Orozco Fiscal is going to be a popular figure around Puebla in the next week or two when he gets back. But yeah, starting with you, Johnny. I mean, seems to me. I mean, I just actually spoke to my dad over Skype. He obviously is back in England in Manchester, and like, you know, told him, "Oh, this is what happened with Mexico and stuff like that." And he's like, you know, you can't quite comprehend it, how a team who's done so well at youth level, done well at the Olympics, who is in a CONCACAF region that doesn't really have too many great teams. I mean, there's only one in the top FIFA rank, the top 20 of the FIFA rankings at the minute. I mean, for people out there who don't know too much about Mexico, where's it gone wrong? Can we put a finger on what has happened, why this has been such a disaster for Mexico?
Yeah, and it has to do with people with suits, with pants and ties, and they just don't know how to manage this talented group of players they have. They've you know, they fired Chepo de la Torre at the wrong time. If Chepo de la Torre would have been fired at the correct time, Sandeep would have a little more time to work with his team, a little more time to develop what he wants, and we probably could have seen a better performance out there.
Eric, do you agree with that? That you know, is people in suits in the federation, or do you think the players have to take a lot of the responsibility as well?
Yeah, there's plenty of blame to go around. I mean, there's really no doubt in my mind that Justino Compan, who's the Mexican Federation president, Decio de Maria, who's the Liga MX president and also the general secretary for the Mexican Federation, as well as Hector González Iñárritu, the national team director, should be fired. They've had a terrible, terrible tenure. And I think that, you know, it's obvious that no one's going to be talking about the success that Mexico's had at the youth levels now. Because it's irrelevant, and we all thought, or at least several of us thought, that success at the youth levels would filter through to the senior team, and it hasn't so far. That has to do directly with the league, and it has to do directly with the national team and the federation. Now, when Chepo de la Torre was fired and Luis Fernando Tena lost the United States, with Vucetich being selected days later and not being able to coax two victories out of those last two games, I think that essentially you have to hold those who have hired and fired these people responsible. But on the other hand, you know, Justino Compan didn't miss that sitter against Costa Rica that Chicharito missed. I think that Javier Hernandez is a guy that right now is being swallowed up by pressure. His, you know, he's a guy with a personality more suited to not being the center of attention every single day. He's more of an underdog type character. You know, there's no doubt in my mind the reason why Javier Hernandez goes in for Manchester United in tough spots off the bench and scores is because he fancies himself an underdog. He fancies himself as a guy who has to score to keep his job or has to rise up to the occasion just to make people notice him. When he's playing with that green shirt, he's not an underdog. He's the main focus. He's the guy everybody puts their hopes and dreams onto his shoulders, and he's expected to go out there and score a hat trick every single game, and that absolutely crushes him. It crushes his spirit, and the pressure gets to him in the sense that, you know, it's just terrible. Chicharito missed possibly the easiest goal of his career last Tuesday against Costa Rica. And yeah, by the way, that offside was rightfully called. I mean, it's quite obvious that Chicharito was not trying to pass the ball to Peralta. Peralta got out of the way as best he could, but Navas could have possibly saved that shot if Peralta was not in the way. So that, I think that settles that argument. But, you know, plenty of blame to go around. It's not just the guys in the suits, it's the players as well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's difficult to... I hope that... One thing I really do hope that is that the fact that Mexico still have got a very good chance of qualifying for the World Cup, I hope it doesn't, like, kind of cover up the cracks that this qualification is exposed. And I hope there's a, you know, a deep kind of period of reflection about where it's gone wrong and how the game can improve. I mean, I think in Mexico you've got a lot of good things going on, especially in terms of youth structure. And I think the quality of play in the Mexican league is pretty decent. I mean, I think it can be better. But, you know, I think some of those practices that we've talked about a lot in this show, you know, Liga MX, you know, owners having a lot to say about the national team. I mean, these are businessmen who were appointing the national team coach. And, you know, the allegation goes that also helping to pick a side as well, which is just ridiculous. And if people want to check out Sven-Goran Eriksson, what he said, I think he really sums it up the best when he talks about how clueless these owners are. And also, I think, you know, the gentleman's pact, where, you know, the free trade of players isn't in effect in Mexico. And, you know, relegated clubs kind of buying the way back into the first division. I think it goes back to the simple, you know, philosophy of competition. And I mean, they're all ways of getting around competition. And, you know, I hope that, you know, even if there isn't massive change, I hope there's a real kind of period of reflection that you know, things need to be ironed out. Naib, where do you put the blame for this? And, you know, and if you just agree with what's been said, maybe you can expand on what Mexico now need to do between now and the New Zealand games and moving forward. I'm talking in the, like, short to medium term
to improve. I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of points brought up right now in the last 3 minutes. I mean, Chicharito is on top of there. But, I mean, when you talk about blame and stuff, there's this the processes have been incomplete. And I remember when they fired Néstor de la Torre built this project, you know, when Mexico won the U-17 and when they finished U-20, third place in U-20 and the gold medal, we can attribute that process started by Néstor de la Torre when he was the director of national teams. Then González Iñárritu was there, you know, to take the championship and everything, and Compián was there as also. But the creation of the plan and all the planification that went through, talking to Raúl Potro Gutiérrez, who right now is in United Arab Emirates with the U-17 Mexico team, was there. You know, it was a concise process. And now the process got obliterated, I think, the minute that he got fired. And now we're seeing sort of the remnants of how well or badly, to say the word is badly, how badly it has been managed. Because there's that Olympic team had a lot of talent. I mean, Jimenez is one of them, Reyes, and so forth. And that should have catapulted Chepo's team to get better in this 2013, and it didn't happen. But when we look at the short term, looking at this month, to be precise, I think it's alarming right now with Vucetich and how he sort of handled himself in the two games. I recognize that Vucetich is a great coach in club level, but it is alarming that there wasn't a true response in the adverse moments yesterday in Costa Rica from Vucetich. He called Lucas Lobos. He didn't put him to play. You know, that decision to start Chicharito knowingly that he doesn't have enough minutes to start. When you have a player like Giovanni Dos Santos who can play a second forward with Peralta, it was proven in the Olympics in 2012. I mean, there's evidence to suggest that Giovanni and Peralta can play as forwards, but there's this sense that Chicharito has to start because Chicharito is the symbol of Mexican football. I mean, we got to understand right now that the guy is not feeling and he's not in true form. But then again, it is not rightfully to criticize him openly and say that he is a player that gets, you know, sort of made up that he's this great forward and stuff. No. We got to respect that at moments Chicharito has shined. But right now, football is treating him badly. I mean, sometimes football treats you bad. And right now, football is treating Chicharito bad, unfortunately. a likable guy. But I think here we have to see the processes. I mean, I think finding the right players for the next game is going to be crucial. Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, I feel like this Mexico side has got no identity in terms of style of play, how it's going to score, you know, how it's going to defend. In terms of, we can look at La Volpe's team back in 2006, and there's a definite style to the Mexican team. We can even look to 2010, to Aguirre. A lot of people weren't happy, you know, Franco playing up front. But at the end of the day, he put his personality on that team. It was very much a solid team and out to get results, you know what I mean? This team, I don't know, I can't even define what, you know, what the game plan is, you know what I mean? And I think it maybe strikes at the character of the players as well, but I think it's also coming from the sidelines. There's no firm identity to relate to. Eric, Johnny, thoughts on what needs to happen moving forward?
Well, I think Musetich is not a manager that's going to come in and, you know, put in his identity onto the team in two games. So, you know, he's not that type of manager, and we all knew that going in. You know, it's between him or Miguel Herrera to take over the national team, and they chose Musetich, and I don't know, I feel like the federation officials, they knew what they were getting with Musetich. Musetich is a long-term manager. You know, nobody can realistically expect, you know, Musetich was never going to revolutionize this team in a matter of two games, and I feel the federation officials knew that. He's not that type of manager. He's more of a long process manager, someone you hire for the next 4-year cycle. And, you know, that's unfortunately what we have. He's still trying to clean up Chepo de la Torres' mess. This is still kind of leftovers of all Chepo de la Torres did with the Mexican national team.
Hi, Eric. Let's take it, move it forward now. Like, short term, obviously the double header against New Zealand, but moving on to, you know, the next 6-9 months to next summer, what do Mexico need to do? What are the fundamentals that have to change with this team between now and then? So if Mexico do get to the World Cup, they'll at least kind of have a dignified display.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I think you have to find a base of players. You have to find not 23 guys, 30 guys. You have to find 30 guys that are going to be your players moving forward. That way you can protect against injuries. You can protect against the freak drop and play. But we have to stop experimenting with several players at several spots. That happened with Chepo, and it's happening now with Vucetich. But I think some of the switches between Chepo's reign and Vucetich's reign have been very positive. Miguel Layún, I hate to say it, you know, I think I've never been a big fan of Miguel Layún, but the guy is playing his heart out. You know, Miguel Layún deserves to be there. I think we shouldn't see guys like Severo Mesa anymore. We shouldn't see guys like Jorge Torres Nilo anymore. Torres Nilo was a liability yesterday against Costa Rica. He just absolutely went out there to kick and shove and push as many players as possible. I don't think Rafa Márquez should be starting, but I think he should be included in the squad as a leader. As soon as Héctor Moreno comes back, he should play. I think in the midfield, Lucas Lobos should be given an opportunity. I mean, I'm not saying put Lucas Lobos in as a starter, give him 90 minutes, trust him. Just give him an opportunity. This is the guy who has been the best player in the league since he arrived in 2008 with very brief intervals of interruption. He has been a fantastic player for Tigres. He is partially responsible for all the success that they've had recently. Give him an opportunity. I think Chaco Jimenez should stay on. I think Oribe Peralta should definitely stay on. I think Raul Jimenez should be given an opportunity to start, and Chicharito should go to the bench. He should, you know, maybe replicate that mentality that he feels with Manchester United as not being a player who is ultimately responsible for a team's success. Maybe a guy that needs to prove himself once more. And the goalkeeper position, I think, is going to be a hot topic again. I don't think Memo Ochoa by any means was to blame for any of the goals that that he received during the last two games. But I think that if Jesus Corona goes on a good run, he should be given another look. Absolutely. I think that that is the one position that shouldn't be overlooked moving forward. And as far as guys who aren't being called up to the national team, in my opinion, even if Miguel Herrera isn't the manager of this national team, I think that you should definitely load this team up with Club America players simply because they are in such amazing rhythm and they are dominating the Mexican League so easily. I think you mentioned it yesterday, Tom. America usually just plays with about three foreign players. You know, if it's Mosquera, Sambuesa, and even Luis Gabriel Rey, that still gives you eight Mexican players on the pitch. So guys like Quick Mendoza, Paul Aguilar, Juan Carlos Medina, those types of players should be given an opportunity to play together wearing a different jersey and see how that helps Mexico moving forward.
I think that's key, what Eric just said about and something that surprised me from Vucetich in these two games. I think he had these mini camps, you know, and I think he was able to see the players that were in top form. He called mainly Monterrey and Tigres players. He put yesterday Ayala, Torres Nilo, Zavala were the three. I mean, not the sharpest of the players on the pitch. There were other more sharp. But I think if he's able to catch, you know, players from America that are in form, some players from León, of course, four of León players were on this call-up, but only Rafa and Gullit had minutes. And I think that's what he has to make more dynamic, I think, because there's no other way to sort of see actually a team play for Mexico, because right now I don't see a team.
Johnny? Mr. Rico? It's like Mr. Rico's temporarily...
Well, yeah, he went down to the count.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with what both Naib and Eric said. One player in particular in my mind is Juan Carlos El Negro Medina. You know, he's been playing great the entire season for America. You know, and I can easily see him in Zavala's spot last night. And also a guy like Luis Angel Mendoza. I don't know if he's ready to be a starter in such big pressure situations. But, you know, coming off the bench in a game last night, Mendoza, I feel, could have done something. And if you build this team, you know, around the league's best team at the moment, and, you know, players that are used to playing with each other, I think, you know, better results, better chemistry is going to be shown on the field. Players will play harder for each other. And that's, you know, I think that's one thing that the team lacked last night. You know, that will to keep going forward. Unlike the United States, the United States showed that will to keep going forward and to not lose despite the fact that they weren't playing for anything.
Yeah, I think the Costa Rica manager Pinto said that his team was more motivated than Mexico. That was what his opinion was after the game. I don't know. I don't know how convinced I am that, you know, Aguilar as well as his playing Medina. I think, you know, I think he should be given a chance. But then, you know, how far do we go with this? Is Massa coming back in? Valenzuela, is he in? You know what I mean? Does Raúl Jiménez take over from Oribe Peralta or Chicharito? Or, you know what I mean? I mean, how far do we go with this? Does Quick Mendoza come in for Giovanni Dos Santos or Aquino?
I don't know. I think, you know, one of the things that will, you know, yesterday Giovanni didn't start. I think that's one thing. He didn't start, and then when he came in, he had that free kick and it went over. Perhaps if he was in rhythm and had started, maybe that would have been a better free kick. You know, I've written several articles in the last month saying that El Tri should play for Giovanni and sort of mold the team around a player like Giovanni Dos Santos. Maybe it's I know I'm focusing it too much on one player, but I think Giovanni has that talent that few players or hardly any players in Mexico have. And I think that there are players that are Mexican that are capable to mold in and play around Giovanni Dos Santos. The game of how Peralta has shown, I think Peralta is able to play alongside Giovanni. A player like Gullit will help a lot coming from the midfield and showing up consistently and giving those passes on the center. You know, I think you can't relegate a player like Giovanni Dos Santos to come in and do magic on just the right flank. I think I haven't seen that, you know, from Chepo or Vucetich giving Giovanni liberty, giving him the baton and saying, you're the leader and you're going to do it because there's no other player that can play like you. Mm-hmm. I'm putting a lot of focus on Giovanni Dos Santos, but I think that that's one of the biggest keys, in my opinion, for this team to sort of recuperate some type of joy, because the team doesn't have a single joy. And it's, you know, people say that, oh, the European players don't play with the same, you know, coraje or garra than some Mexico players. But that's because they don't even play in the position that they play in their club. Javier Aquino and Giovanni Dos Santos right now are playing great football in Villarreal, Club de Futbol, but they're not playing in those positions with the Mexican national team.
What do you move, though? I mean, you can't – that's the eternal debate. You can't really move an entire formation just to suit two players. And Giovanni Dos Santos, in all fairness, has played different positions for Mexico over the course of his career, and he's done it well. I think that's it's cheap to excuse Giovanni Dos Santos. You know, a great player is a great player is a great player. You're not asking Giovanni Dos Santos to play central defender. You know, you're asking him to come off the wing. You're asking him to attack. You're asking him to take control of the offense on one side of the pitch, which is basically what he does in a nutshell for Villarreal. I agree that he doesn't play that same position, but he's not, you know, he's not being asked to play goalkeeper. Same for Aquino. You can definitely tell that they share the same intensity that they have when they play for Villarreal, but I think the stakes are definitely higher, and these are players that are not responding to the pressure. I mean, what excuse can you make for Chicharito? He's playing the same position, but he's not scoring. He's not playing the same way that he does for Manchester United. And it's not, we're not trying to pick on the European-based players. I think European-based players should be a focal point for Mexico in the midterm and in the long term. But in the short term, they're not getting it done. You know, and to be fair, why would you want a guy like Hector Herrera right now who's not playing in Portugal? A guy who hasn't had any sort of activity, any sort of meaningful activity for the last 3 months. I understand that bit. I understand not calling Diego Reyes because he might be rusty. You need guys that are in top level to take on these particular challenges. You know, who's to say Raul Jimenez won't be playing in Europe next year? Guy's on fire. Yeah. Who's to say Oribe Peralta couldn't be playing in Europe? He's very talented, but I think that we're underestimating both the level of the Mexican league and also the activity that these players are having and the moments, the particular moments that they are going through in their clubs. You know, Javier Hernandez is a fantastic player, no doubt, and he's been fantastic for United when they've given him the opportunity to play. He's been fantastic for Mexico several times as well, but I'll tell you what the difference is between now and the other times. When Chicharito has been fantastic for both club and country, he's gotten more minutes for his club. You know, right now he's the fourth choice striker in Manchester United, and that's seriously affecting his game. And I think that Chicharito might be a guy more suited to be brought in and used specifically the way that he's being used with his club. If he's got 15 minutes, if he's got 20 minutes, all right, fine, bring him in. Let him be able to do something with that amount of time. Giovanni Dos Santos, though, and Javier Aquino, though, I mean, I don't know. I don't think that you should alter the entire formation of a team just to suit two guys who may or may not be able to bring the goods for you in the most important games of the season. That's just what I think.
Yeah.
But I'd argue that it needs changing. You know what I mean? What I like about what Naib said is that at least it's kind of going to an idea, an identity, and playing to some kind of plan. At the minute, it just seems very wishy-washy. But, you know, obviously, about Giovanni. I mean, I think playing on the right wing in a 4-4-2, I don't think it suits him because he's got a bit more defensive responsibility because there's two main strikers. I mean, what I would like to see is either Giovanni or Lucas Lobos be given that chance and play like Mexico have done with one striker. And I think at the minute that would be Oribe Peralta. I think Mexico play better like that. I think it suits the players better. But I mean, I mean, let's not get into the formational thing. I mean, I'm sure we will.
One last thing before we let the formation thing go. My only point is the two-striker formation never worked for Chepo de la Torre. It kind of almost worked, you know, at times for Bucetich, but, you know, it's not a formation Mexico can have any real success on. I think it really is time to let that idea go that Mexico can play with two strikers.
I agree with that, and I think because if Mexico do play against better teams, I don't think it suits them at all to play with two strikers. But, you know, like I said before on this show, like, I could see what the coaches want to do, because Oribe Peralta and Chicharito, if you look just the amount of goals they score per minutes on the field, I mean, it is unbelievable, but that doesn't mean that they can do it on the same pitch at the same time. So, I don't know. I mean, I think the rest of it, like I said before, a real period of reflection, and Vucetic has said now that he's going to really, you know, work players hard and try and create his own side. Yeah. Anyway, we've been tweeting during the show. Anyone stick out there, boys?
Yeah. Got some responders for what we've been tweeting about. Fans commenting on last night's game. Our first responder, # thank you Panama. That was Bernardo F. Joshua, with current form, does Chicharito being suspended hurt or help Mexico in their next game against New Zealand? Chicharito picked up a yellow card last night, so he will be suspended for Mexico's first game in Mexico against New Zealand. He can probably come back for the decisive game in New Zealand. What do you guys think? Does it help or hurt right now Mexico?
Eric, what do you think? Does it help?
You know, it's so hard to gauge what's going on right now. And I say that with the utmost serious tone. You know, it's so hard to gauge what helps and what hurts right now, to be honest. I think when we go into that first game against New Zealand here at the Estadio Azteca, and if Vucetich decides to go with Oribe Peralta up front by himself, then that is an indictment of what Chicharito means to Mexico. Chicharito is so synonymous with Mexico and has been since the 2010 World Cup that no matter how badly he's playing, he'll get a start, he'll get an opportunity to play. And with him just definitely not available and not looking towards Raul Jimenez to maintain his 4-4-2, then that is an indictment of Chicharito if Peralta is the only guy that goes out there and starts that game. If Peralta starts alongside Jimenez, then we'll understand a little bit more of what Vucetich is thinking. Regardless of what the suspensions look like for Mexico going forward, I have no idea whether it helps or hurts, because it seems stupid to say not having your best striker for a crucial game is a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never a good thing, but the way that Chicharito has played, the way that things have gone for Mexico right now, it's just, gosh, it just seems so illogical to think that having that Chicharito play for you would be a good thing. So I guess my answer here is I have no idea.
Well, Antonio Gonzalez answered the question of who's to blame for Mexico's current situation. His opinion is Justino Compan and Gonzalez Iñárritu, so the guys with suits. Andrew Martinez says everything about their formation is bad. Can't move the ball from defense to forwards. Players not making runs off of the ball. David Gonzalez says Raul Jimenez should be in Chicharito's place in the formation. Sergio Tristan, our good friend Sergio from Pancho Villa's army, did not like the way Mexico lost last night. He says there's better ways to lose with dignity. He did not like the the performances of, you know, the players on the pitch, the lack of heart they showed.
There's one question right here from David Gonzalez that says, I mean, the left-back position, I mean, Eric straight up said that Torres Nilo should, you know, not be the starter. Does that mean that we bring back in Salcido as left-back, or is there another player?
I move Layún over to the left side, and I put Paulo Aguilar on the right side. I mean, he played one terrible game against Jamaica, Paulo Aguilar did. Honestly, that was just a very bad game for Aguilar. But he was completely erased from the squad after that, and he has been fantastic for America.
Yeah, I'd bring in Andrés Guardado, play him at left back without any doubt.
Yeah, Tom, but we'll see with Guardado and how he keeps on going. But right now, it's pretty tough for Guardado. I don't see the best Guardado version at the moment. It's ups and downs for Guardado right now. But I think if he picks up his game, he's a considerable option, like you just said.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. But I mean, I think a player like Guardado needs to be in there. And, you know, obviously his form's not been the best, but you know, if he is in any sort of form coming into the game, I think he has to play it at left back. I don't think necessarily all the bad stuff that's gone on in the hexagonal is necessarily his fault. Or Mazur Rodriguez, to the same question. What else we got, anyways? Any other questions?
Señor Tejada replied to, should Club America players be the base of El Tri? He said, no question about it. Christian says, everyone thought this was De La Torre's fault. Is it Vucetich's fault now? No. How about his lineup and roster yesterday? Horrible. I think this is still De La Torre's mess that Vucetich is trying to clean up. That's my opinion. What do you guys think?
I agree. Yeah. Yeah, Tom, go.
No, yeah, I agree.
Darren D. Stone says, more humility and hard work on the senior side is needed. You're not the giant anymore. Youth titles don't matter.
Cool. Yeah, ditch Luis Valens, 5-2-8. Ditch the 4-4-2. Two strikers up front not working. Build team around a number 10 Gio. There you go, Naib.
Yeah, Luis Valens. Got a supporter there. Luis Valens thinks the same. Now, we'll see. I think it's important weeks ahead. You know, it's going to be tough because club teams like America, they got to worry about CONCACAF champions and worry about La Liga and America. I mean, molding this like moment of El Tri and club level, it's going to be important right now how they manage it. I think Vucetich needs more time to form the team, and we will see what happens.
Yeah. Anyways, that brings the show to an end. I mean, I'm still kind of getting to grips with what happened last night, as I stated at the start. I mean, there's a few-minute period where everything was just running through my mind, right? Okay, Mexico aren't going to go. Yeah. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And it was just unbelievable. And then I just saw on Twitter, the US, the US has scored. I'm like, no, don't believe it, don't believe it, don't believe it. And, then I proceeded to swear. But that brings the show to an end. Thanks a lot for joining us. You can check us out.
You gave out the Luis Garcia shout out that he gave during the Panama game.
No man. No man. Unbelievable. Anyways, check us out at Mex Soccer Show. We're also on Twitter, Mexican Soccer Show. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week. Enjoy the Liga MX action over the weekend.
America over Cruz Azul.
Yeah, repeat of the final.